We would like to advise that the following program may contain adult themes, occasional nudity, and language that may offend some listeners.
Thank God it's... Thank God it's...
And welcome to the Lindley Evans Music Studio at the ABC in Ultimo for another edition of Thank God It's Friday. I'm Richard Glover, and this week the mighty James Rain pays tribute to the man who always reigns, Elvis the King. Please welcome James Rain. And our panel, ladies and gentlemen, from Canada, Glenn Wool, from Melbourne, Tom Gleeson.
He's my favourite.
And from Bowral, Anthony Aykroyd.
Yeah.
Now, actually, I know where Bowral might not seem as groovy as the other places, but they flew here. He drove here.
It felt like flying.
It should be given our admiration. But first, as always, here is the news from nowhere. Now, some people follow Confucius. Others swear by the philosophical insights of Plato or Sartre. Why not instead study, and I mean this for the ethics course in schools, why not study the songs of Elvis Presley? In honour of James Rain and his new album of Elvis songs, I want to tell you about all the things I have learnt from Elvis Presley. Taken as a whole, his songs contain everything I feel, from handy tips about geography, a river flows surely to the sea, right through to useful religious instruction. I'm lonely like Adam, you're evil like Eve. Here with the 25 things I've learned about life from listening to Elvis. The typical train is 16 carriages long. German food comprises a mix of Hassenpfeffer and black pumpernickel. The Heartbreak Hotel is located at the end of Lonely Street. Hula dancers are best judged by their ability to really move that grass around. There are few sounds that make you feel more lonely than that of the midnight train. If hitchhiking, it's hard to choose a better destination than Memphis, Tennessee. Children born in disadvantaged areas, such as ghettos, should receive special assistance as this reduces the likelihood of them turning to a life of crime, thus perpetuating an endless cycle of disadvantage. You can learn it all from Elvis. If caught without a partner during a dance at a federal penitentiary, a wooden chair can provide a good substitute. It's okay to date your cousin, providing she's a distant cousin, yet not too distant with you. The wisdom, ladies and gentlemen. So efficient is the US Postal Service that it will return an unwanted letter within 24 hours of its initial posting. When inviting a young woman to dance, you may increase your chances by noting that chicken is now being served in the barn. These are wise things. If rejected by the older sister in a family, by all means consider the attractions of her younger sister. Who may have matured more rapidly than you first noticed. Women named Marie are naturally duplicitous. Girls named Daisy, by contrast, tend to drive you crazy. If wearing suede shoes, particularly of a light hue, one should make their protection one's number one priority, even above that of preventing arson attacks on one's own home. There are few looks more intense than that of a one-eyed cat peeping in a seafood store. A .44 caliber pistol is an excellent firearm choice for a woman whose partner was caught doing him wrong. A passionate kiss can be measured by the fact that even a team of wild horses would be unable to drag apart the two participants. The lips of an attractive woman tend to taste like breakfast spread, in particular honey. A temperature of 100... and 9 is quite common during the early stages of an affair. If you suspect someone is evil, check their middle name, because it may well be misery. The wisdom of the king. The experience of love, especially early in life, can have serious medical consequences, including sensations of itching, hand tremors, leg spasms, heart palpitations, and language difficulties. American soldiers... This is the history. See, he talks about everything. Life, relationship, even history. American soldiers... were unable to approach young women in Germany in the period straight after the war, as local women wore signs in German saying, "Keepen Sie off the grass." Maybe people aren't quite as familiar with GI blues as I am. People are more likely to be alone during a blue moon than during any other lunar event. Conversation with a partner can become tiresome unless the discussion is broken up now and then with a little action. And finally, in the state of Kentucky, precipitation usually occurs when a man is hitchhiking from town to town, having been abandoned by his baby. Now, show me one passage in Plato, Sartre, or Confucius that can match all of that for depth, width, and wisdom. And that's the news from nowhere. please welcome James Rain and his band. The new album is called TCB. He's playing the State Theatre on May 22, singing some of his own songs, and then, of course, moving on to the songs of the king.
Correct.
Which period? There are three periods of
there
the king.
There are.
Proper fans, like me,
yeah,
like all three equally.
Ah.
But Johnny-come-lately fans say only the early
ones. Don't they? Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah. We hate people like that.
I was going to say almost true purists are going to say that period, but the period just after he came out of the army, the period of the bad films with the great songs.
Yeah. '60s. I looked at the album, actually, and of all the three periods, this seems to be the period you really love, actually. The sort of...
The swing years.
The swing years, yeah.
Yeah, the swing years with the tongue a little in the cheek years. Yeah. When you think, with the benefit of hindsight, of course, you almost think, well... I know the Colonel is forcing me to do this crap, but I might as well make a fist of it. At least I've got some good songs to sing.
There's a great sense of fun about these. It's almost like the sky is always blue in these songs.
That's correct. Mm. Plus, it was a great period for the songwriters. I mean, I'm referring back to the wisdom in a lot of these songs, and they really do talk about life and death and everything in between.
And how to wear a hula skirt.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And, that if your temperature does raise 109, you're in a lot of trouble. But yeah, it was a great period for great American songwriting. I think popular songwriting.
Do you enjoy doing the songs when you get up and do them? Do you swing that pelvis around?
I do a little, Richard.
He is Elvis the pelvis, you know.
He is Elvis the pelvis, but I wouldn't dare even try and imitate him physically or vocally. That would be a big mistake.
You got a lot of eating to do if you want to imitate him physically.
That's exactly right.
Now, what are you going to play for us today?
We thought, in reference to reference to 109, we might do a bit of Burning Love.
Bit of Burning Love.
Yeah.
Hunker, hunker, hunker.
Because I think also the other thing that that Elvis does cover as well is I think once in anyone's life, man or woman, you would feel good to stand up and sing, I'm a hunker, hunker, burning love. Everyone needs to do that.
Well, you know, my wife, every time she goes in to see Mario, our butcher, she sings, I want a hunker, hunker, burning rump. And she gets very good service.
Every single time.
James Rain and band ahead of the State Theatre with the new album TCB live on TGIF. James Rain!
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. James Rain and the band... The new album is called TCB, and James plays the State Theatre May 22. He's his own support. He'll be doing all the Great Australian Crawl hits early on in the night and then singing the song. But we've got to have backup singers now every week on TGIF. Backup singers.
Can I tell my Elvis Presley story?
Yes. Anthony Aykroyd.
Yes, here we go. Now, Bob Hawke, ex-Prime Minister of Australia, is a big fan of my Kevin Rudd impersonation. And
just because you're not doing him.
Yeah. And he rang me up and said, Anthony, would you work with me at the Woodford Folk Festival? So Bob did his, straight, inspiring, fiery thing, and then I did my Kevin Rudd, and we had a great time. And at the end he said, Anthony, tomorrow I'll give you a call. We'll go and see Elvis Presley. I thought, what are you talking about? And I thought, he's just being polite, he won't call. Then he called the next day and said, the car's ready. And so we drove down to Woodford and we went to a fruiterer shop called Grapelands.
Ah, yes, this is true, yeah.
And I'm there with Bob and Blanche, and a man comes out in full Elvis costume. And Bob, Elvis Presley, and I sing Viva Las Vegas. And I looked around and thought, my life has become very weird. It was fantastic. He's fantastic. Elvis Presley in Grapelands.
But the only way Bob can look good in a speech is to get somebody to impersonate a later Prime Minister badly.
He was fantastic. And he got to eat Elvis Presley. Because all these things, he's got, Love Me Slender, he's got all these juices. Oh, fantastic. If you're up at Woodford, check him out.
Check him out.
Yeah.
Now, we have a locust plague at the moment in Australia. We've got the volcano terrorising Europe. It strikes me that clearly God, or maybe the gods, must be very angry this week. What do you think humanity has done wrong to deserve this? and how are we to propitiate the gods? Anthony Aykroyd.
Well, thanks for using the word propitiate, which I don't think is used that often.
It's good to learn.
Yeah,
it's good to learn.
Yeah, I think I'll go into a corner and propitiate.
Because normally when you throw virgins into a volcano, it's just a crime. Yeah. But if you explain that you're propitiating the gods, it's fine.
Listen, the ancient Greeks had it right. They realised the main sin that incurs the wrath of the gods is hubris, trying to rival the gods themselves. They are offended by the arrogant and the proud, so we must appease them by observing the time-honored tradition of human sacrifice, ladies and gentlemen. I've got some candidates. The first sinners into the mouth of the volcano. Let's start with those three porky knob tossers off MasterChef. Hey, fatty.
How big is this volcano?
Yeah, exactly. Let's do an extension. Now, listen, newsflash, you know, you guys cook food. That's what you do. Have you cured leprosy? No. Have you summited Everest? I don't think so. Have you solved the elusive conundrum of the Birch and Swinnerton Dyer conjecture that's puzzled mathematicians for half a century? I don't think so. Amazing what you can find on Wikipedia. What have you done? Cooked a bloody meringue, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, they didn't even cook it themselves. They've got 50 other desperate, grovelling, would-be culinary wannabes to cook it for them. And then they go, oh, you're so soft and airy and fruity. Yeah, remind you of anyone? Cravat-wearing Popinjay into the volcano. Now next into the molten lava, front and centre, Kyle Sandilands. Yeah. Australia's Got Talent. Pity Kyle missed out. And any show, yes, that's worth one person applauding. You speak for us all, sir. I appreciate that. Any show that features Danny Minogue should be called My Sister's Got Talent. I've got Botox. Into the volcano. Gee, plastic burns quickly. And for a full explanation of our present tribulations, let's go to the Book of Revelation, ladies and gentlemen. A quote, I don't know if you're familiar with it. And lo, the Lord said, verily, when an ostrich, a giant duck, and Daryl Summers return to TV, the apocalypse is nigh. I think I've made my point, Richard.
It's a very full volcano already. But Glenn Wool, we've got locust plagues in Australia. We've got the volcano in Europe. What have we done wrong?
I think it has to do with not punishing the bankers properly.
Yeah.
No, it's biblical, too, because bankers are the only people that Jesus ever yelled at.
Because he was normally pretty sweet with
everyone. Yeah, no, he was usually pretty cool. Like, just hanging out like, hey, man, let's all have some couscous salad and it'll all be fine. But that was the one day even Jesus couldn't keep it inside. He was like, I am the Son of God, but you people are horrible. Don't touch me, Peter.
Take this table, he said. Tom, what have we done wrong?
The Melbourne storm.
Okay.
Now, well, Mother Nature was onto this a very long time ago because straight away having a team called the Melbourne Storm during, you know, what, 12 years that the Melbourne Storm have existed, Melbourne's been in drought. That's just insulting right there, right? And also Mother Nature knew about this whole controversy way before anyone else and was trying to send us a signal. That's why Mother Nature blew a volcanic cap, right? Just blew the cap right off the top, said the cap's gone. Hint anyone? You stopped international aviation. No one picked up on it. And then we found out later. And like Mother Nature's like, I told you this happened ages ago.
Was Mother Nature the one that was ringing Centre Bet with all those bets yesterday morning?
Oh, that's right.
Because it was in the know early.
And also there's punishment. And the punishment is, the only way we can appease the gods is by having a new rugby league team in Hobart. I reckon it'd be good to have. I think we should. And no, don't call it the Hobart Devils. It's too obvious. Let's call them the Hobart Apples. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? The Cascade Hobart Apples.
Now, what do you think, Anthony Aykroyd? You're from Tasmania. Do you think a rugby league team would go well?
Tasmania's pure AFL, and I think they might be the winner of the week, considering what's been going on. Let me say this, Richard. I'm a little bit disappointed in you.
Yes, why? Do you think I should go in the volcano?
Well, it's not that. Maybe just one leg. Now, when something happens with the Melbourne Storm, you get sub-editor pun disease. Mm. So every headline is, you know, perfect storm, storm in a teacup, and I'm listening to you on the radio and you used Eye of the Storm.
Eye of the Storm, yeah.
How do you hold your head up in the name as a public broadcaster?
Because if you don't have a bad pun on a day like that, it's a sacking offence as a journalist. You get drummed out of the trade.
I didn't realise it worked that way. Yeah, yeah, I understand.
Yeah, the pun's okay as long as you do it quick. You got to just do it quick and before everyone else. Yeah. If you do it in 2 weeks' time, you're an idiot. Yeah. You know, if you do it straight away, bang, that's fine.
You have to get in very fast. Mm. Now, the Prime Minister this week gets what he calls an historic agreement on health, but instantly he's criticised in that the plan does little for preventative health. How could the government force Australians to exercise more and eat better in order to keep us out of hospital in the first place? Glenn Wool, can we come to the rescue of the Australian Health Service? How are you going to make us avoid the hospital in the first place?
I was laughing. I just listened to the radio and there was a commercial to try and help you find out if you're fat. It's like, if your waistband is above this, call the government and we'll tell you you're fat. Like, surely there's some easier ways to do that. Like, just have an office with a small door and a sign inside that says you're not fat. And if you can get inside...
Ta-da!
Yeah. If you have to constantly ask people what goes on in there... You're a bit tubby.
So maybe just change the size of the doors on emergency hospitals and emergency rooms.
Yeah, door size.
Tom, how are we going to build some preventative health into our daily activities?
Well, I think Glenn Wool's really hit on something there. I think what we should do is have a fat tax. And what happens is at the end of the financial year, you go to your accountant with all your BAS statements and all that kind of thing, and you do a weigh-in. And depending
on how holding
much...
your BAS statements in your hand.
Yeah, you hold your BAS statements in your hand, and depending on how much you weigh, you've got to pay tax on that. So there's a real incentive. And like if you weigh more than your ABN number, you have got some massive problems.
Anthony Acker, we need to build in daily exercise into our, you know.
Well, interestingly enough, Richard, I've got a recording here of Kevin giving his own message.
Oh, that's
really?
That's very good. I could we are privileged.
Can I press play?
Yeah, press play.
All right, I'll press play. Here we go.
Hi, I'm Kevin. Is preventative healthcare important to me? Yes, it is. Do I have yet another sweetener to add into the implementation of my historic health reforms? Absolutely. And do you know something? That sweetener is me. Can I say this? Laughter is the best medicine is not a cliche. It is a scientifically proven formula. As a key part of my healthcare revolution, each day I will be travelling around this great nation of ours, sharing witticisms and jokes with sick people in bed. Among my jokes will be the following. Firstly, a man goes into a doctor's office and says, "Doctor, I've got a terrible cough." The doctor says, "Well, go over to the window and poke your tongue out." The man says, "Will that help my cough?" The doctor replies, "No, I just don't like the guy across the street." Subsequently, another man enters the doctor's surgery and says, "Doctor, every time I do this, my arm hurts. Do you have any suggestions?" He replies, "Yes, stop doing that." Not all of these are winners. And finally, a man enters and says, "Doctor, I have a cricket ball stuck in my bottom." The doctor replies, "How's that?" The man says, "Don't you start as well." So if that sort of material doesn't clear hospital beds pretty pronto, then I don't know what will. This is Kooky Kevin saying, until I see you at the end of your bed, Jess wishes.
Ladies and gentlemen, Prime Minister Kevin Rudd. Solving the nation's health problems one joke at a time on Thank God It's Friday.
Thank God It's Friday with Richard Glover.
We have Anthony Aykroyd. We also have Canadian comic Glenn Wool, who plays The Factory in Marrickville tonight through to Monday. Tom Gleeson is here as well. His show, Get It Into You, is playing at the Parade Theatre tonight and tomorrow night. In a second, we're going to play the TGIF News Quiz. If you'd like to play, 1-300-222-702. We're going to present you three stories from this week's news. Only one of them is true. If you can guess the right one, you will be taking with you the Blackadder Remastered from the ABC.
Wait a minute. That's a good prize.
It's a good prize.
That violates every tenet of this.
Ladies and gentlemen, breaking with my usual practice.
Hang on.
I couldn't find any black and white versions of episode 7 of The Rag Trade. And so it's a decent prize this week. So ring now, 1-300-222-702. I know it's a somber story, but the death this week of the underworld figure Carl Williams, whose character was used in the drama series Underbelly. Given his backstory that everyone seemed to watch on television, the method of death seemed almost like something created by the Underbelly writers. If other characters in TV shows were to die, how do you think they would go? Tom Gleason.
In keeping with the Logie Awards coming up, I'd like to see Julie Rafter beaten around the head with an acoustic guitar. Now, you might think, why? Well, it's because of that annoying soundtrack. Whenever anything in that show happens that's slightly awkward, you always get a bit of... down, down, down. So I'd just like to see her beaten with her own soundtrack. Yeah.
That guitar should come out at the Logies.
Yes. Mm.
All right. Anthony Aykroyd.
Oh, well, I think if Carl has taught us anything... is that live by the sword, die by the sword. And I think that principle should apply to all TV characters. So Homer Simpson, like to see him choke on a donut as he says, dope! That'd be good.
So finally bring the series to an end after...
Spider-Man bitten by a redback on a toilet seat. I think this has some nice symmetry. Allison from the TV show Medium gets run over by a truck driven by the Ghost Whisperer. Didn't see that coming. The Flying Nun. Flying Nun flies into a cloud of volcanic ash and crash lands next to Superman, Peter Pan, Inspector Gadget's helicopter. And this is the scene we never... I don't think it's too late for this, even though it's an old series. I'd love to see this scene. We slowly zoom in on the dead body of Sonny Hammond from Skippy. We see the bloody corpse is covered with paw prints. And Telltale Fur, episode title flashes up, CSI, Waratah National Park. David Caruso, guest stars. The fur samples are back from the lab. It's an Eastern Grey, all right. And they're an exact match to the ones we found on Clancy, the murdered girl. You know what we're dealing with here? A serial killer with a pouch.
When good kangaroos turn bad, Anthony Aykroyd. Glenn Wool, if all these characters in TV shows were have a befitting death, what would they involve?
Well, I always thought that all television cameras should come equipped with a votable gun.
Yeah.
And just at home, you know, if, say, 90% of the people watching pressed a certain button on their remote, bang! I take care of reality TV.
Just a practical response, except for Tom Gleason would be up for murder for poor old Julie Rafter. The only problem. Now, we have Anthony, Tom and Glenn, but we also have Steve from West Wright. G'day, Steve.
Good afternoon, Richard.
Now, what does the weekend hold for you guys?
Anzac Day, big weekend for the family on Sunday.
What do they do? What's the involvement?
All my family involved in various marching bands that have commitments in George Street.
Oh, fantastic. Okay. Mm. They get to play. They've been practicing hard?
Well, the kids are up there tonight.
Yeah. What instruments?
Young bloke plays the tuba.
The young bloke plays the tuba?
Yeah.
You're a very poor man, aren't you?
Oh, well.
That must be a lot to live with.
It borders on financial destitution from time to time.
Exactly. An expensive instrument and extremely loud, too, when he's practising.
I think, as was described this morning, that he's got over that stage where he is no longer obscene to listen to.
Oh, very good. Okay, that's only taken 15 years to achieve, has it?
Oh, no. He's a little bit quicker than that.
Now, we're going to present you three stories from this week's news. Two of them I've made up. The other one is real. All your job is to pick the real story from the two fakes. This week, we all know America is the fast food capital of the world. So this week, we've got three stories about fast food innovations from America. Only one of them is true. Tom Gleason, what's your story?
In the midst of the obesity epidemic, KFC has come up with a new product named the Double Down. It has two of everything, two lots of bacon, two lots of cheese, two squirts of mayonnaise sauce, and then on the outside, where the bread normally goes, two plump chicken fillets.
Yum!
That's right, fried chicken as the bun. The burgers may be missing their buns, but it seems certain that customers will end up with big buns of their own.
Okay, a food innovation from America. Is that the real one? Glenn Wool, what's your food innovation from America?
For years, the Jerry's Pizza chain has pumped cheese into its pizza crust for a special cheesy treat. But now it's introducing the ultimate half-and-half pizza. One half is cheese pumped into the crust, and the other half has a concealed ring of rich chocolate. Oh, atop yum. The savory half is more cheese and extra salami. Atop the sweet half is more chocolate and pieces of, you guessed it, chocolate. The whole thing is large and round, much like its customers.
Oh, come on, you want to order one. You want to get the mobile out now and order one. Now, finally, Anthony Acro, what's your story about a fast food innovation from America?
A bacon and egg sandwich made with white bread is not usually considered a health food, but it's starting to look good, at least compared to the new product from the Southern American hamburger chain Carl's Jr. Carl's makes the standard bacon and egg sandwich, then covers it with batter, then deep fries it. At least they're honest about the product's name. They're calling it Carl's Whole Hog.
Okay, let's review your choices. One of these is real. Is it KFC's burger in which fried chicken takes the place of the buns? Is it Glenn's story about Jerry's pizza with a half and half with chocolate squirted into the crust on one half and cheese on the other? Or Anthony's story about the deep-fried, battered bacon and egg sandwich? What do you reckon?
Well, I think it's got to be a toss-up between the chocolate pizza or the deep-fried bacon and egg sandwich, Richard.
Look, either way, I think you'd have to toss up something.
I'm just thinking for the penchant of Southern America to fry everything, I think I've got to go with the battered bacon and egg.
Okay, the battered bacon. You can taste it now, can't you? Be beautiful.
I have a bucket nearby.
They'd drop it in and it would come out all golden, wouldn't it? Mm. Oh, beautiful. Oh, cut into it. Yeah. The grease would spurt out of the bacon. Fantastic. Is it the right one, though? Well, here's Helen Zaremis, our newsreader, with the true story of this week's food innovation from our friends in America.
Obesity experts have criticised the American food chain KFC after it introduced a burger in which fried chicken takes the place of the bun.
I thought mine was made up. I thought this is not true.
Yes.
The burger has 32 grams of fat and only 1 gram of fibre.
One! How did that get in there? Yeah. Someone's going to be sacked for that.
Someone spilled all bran on it.
KFC claims the new meal will prove socially useful because it's giving away all the now unused buns to local food charities.
Ah, isn't KFC a good corporate customer? Yes. Fantastic. Please thank Helen Zaremis. Now, Steve, you didn't win this week, but you will get you a great consolation prize. And good luck with the tuba and the kids on Anzac Day.
Thanks, Richard. Yep. One quick question,
yes,
though.
Steve.
KFC using the chicken, what do you catch a chook with now if you haven't got the buns?
That's absolutely right. Good there's on you, Steve.
Thanks, Richard.
You've got to get a cricketer and hypnotise them is the answer to the question.
There's nothing the homeless love more than a dry bun. It's almost better than heroin.
That's right. Isn't it? Yeah. They feel so good about themselves. They're giving away their buns.
Eat up.
Fantastic.
Thanks, Colonel.
We have Anthony Aykroyd, Tom Gleeson, and Glenn Wool. Now, the council that covers the US capital, Washington, has approved the sale of marijuana to those with a chronic illness. With a doctor's certificate, it will now be available from 5 marijuana distribution centres. This has happened in many American cities, but Washington has now joined the club. Now marijuana is officially available in the capital. What impact do you think it will have on US policy? Tom Gleeson.
Well, straight away, it's got to be said, they'll change it from the White House to the Greenhouse. not just because it's a good name and it sounds like a good... but literally a greenhouse and that's where they'll grow it. It'll be like a beautiful, big human enclosure.
It was the greenhouse before Canada beat them in a war and burnt it down. Yeah. No, that's a true
that's
story.
True.
The White House used to be green and then America got a little sniffy, so we took him downtown.
Glenn, I've got to confess, here in Australia, we don't often think of Canada as a martial nation, but you are.
Well,
right.
You better watch it.
We think of you as lovely, peace-loving people. That's not right.
That's our trick.
Yeah. Actually, you're pretty good at the ice hockey, which is a violent game, isn't it?
Yeah.
So is that what you're doing? You're just hiding up there and you just... watching all the border protection they're doing in Mexico, getting all angry about it, and the borders are all nice and open to the north, and you can just run in.
Oh, yeah, man. Well, we just got, we will dress up like their army, and they can't even tell the difference between us.
And you use those accents which are identical to the American accent. Don't say that to a Canadian, or they'll get really annoyed.
Oh, it's okay. We can put it on or take it off if we need to.
The secret plan of infiltration. So it's going to be called the greenhouse. How else will it affect US foreign policy?
I think what they'll do is they will pass a bill that makes all fast food free. For easy access late at night, 24 hours, it'll all be
buns
free.
Buns made out of chicken.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Chicken buns. That was actually their first measure that they put through was the chicken bun.
Oh, it would be.
And the Australian-American free trade deal just becomes they import lots of Tim Tams.
Lots straight in there.
Glenn, well, how will things change now they've got free marijuana?
Well, if they do that, they can now legally smoke the Declaration of Independence, which is written on hemp paper. As many a pothead will tell you when he's waggling his finger at you why it should be legal.
Is that true?
Yeah, it's written on hemp paper. The defense to that is, yes, but if they'd been smoking it, they never would have gotten around to writing it in the first place. It would have just been a declaration of a need for some potato dumpling things with some, you know. We're more hungry than we need freedom right now. Okay, the English can come if they bring some toad in the hole.
That's our only demand. Anthony Ackroyd, Washington joins other states in having legal marijuana. How will this change foreign policy?
Well, I think you're going to be hearing a lot more speeches from President Obama that go a bit like this. My fellow Americans. Today I met with Congress. In fact, you could say we had a joint sitting. Anyway, we decided that the Iranian president, anyway.
It's easy to say, you just say, I'm a dinner jacket, and then change the beginning.
That's funny, man. Hey, Hillary, you want some of this? I know Bill didn't inhale, but Monica sure did. I'd like to introduce my new Joint Chiefs of Staff, Cheech and Chong. And tell Michael Jackson's doctor I need another certificate. I'm going to the high court, baby. What do you think of that accent, Glenn? That was...
Yeah, man.
Yeah, pretty convincing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I closed my eyes.
You saw Obama.
He can do Kevin Rudd. He can do Obama. It's amazing.
He can do Hawkey.
You should ask me about the other impressions. Is that what those guys sound like?
Just like
bang
those
on.
People. Yeah.
It certainly helps. You feel that Anthony's impressions are very good if you've never met Kevin Rudd.
He could be brilliant.
You should take your whole act on the road to Canada. Brilliant. Thank God it's Friday with Anthony Ackroyd, Tom Gleason, and Glenn Wall. Now, Tom is, his show is on at the Parade. See, it's competitive comics here because both these guys are on for the next couple of nights in Sydney. Tom, his show is called Get It Into You. It's on at the Parade. What's that about?
Well, I'm doing a one-hour stand-up show that I did at the Melbourne Comedy Festival. And remember, last time I was here, I was here for the Sydney Comedy Store and you got upset with me because I sold out.
You were bragging that you'd sold out.
Well, I haven't sold out tonight or tomorrow. There are tickets available. But I'm not making this up. There are four tickets for tonight.
Four tickets.
And six for tomorrow.
Okay, but if there's only four tickets, it can't be anyone who's had a double down burger because they might not fit in the seat.
They won't get in there.
They won't get in.
Yeah, so not quite. But
okay, what's the show about? What's the show about?
I'm just doing an hour of stand-up. It's about making people laugh heaps.
Yeah.
What do you mean, what's that so be
you're,
about? What
you're
do you
standing
think
up. Yeah, yeah. So the best thing you can offer is the act is vertical. the performer is vertical throughout the whole performance?
Well, I can offer you that it's going to make you laugh heaps for an hour, but I don't want to give it. Do you want me to do it now? Just do it all. I just squeeze it in before news if you want me to. Just rip into it.
Very quickly, Glenn Wool, your show is by contrast on at the Factory in Marrickville. What's yours about? Are you horizontal during the whole performance?
Well, it depends.
After
depends
the
what was in the water, man. It's another hour of straight stand-up, but it's better than Tom's.
Is it?
Yeah, yes. I'll just be flat out honest.
How many laughs do you think?
And I've not even seen Tom's show. I can just tell.
How many laughs per minute do you think you'll get tonight, Glenn? Five?
Yeah, sure, man. Whatever. Yeah.
Tom,
you only asked me the questions that you wrote down.
Usually. Excuse me, Richard.
Yes.
Have we missed someone out? I'm on at my place tonight in Barrow.
Hilarious.
It's a whole concept show. It's not just laughs. No. It's the concept of me being at home.
You cook dinner during the show?
Yeah, that's the whole concept.
Yeah. You shout at a couple of kids, get them to come to the table?
Yeah. Have you seen the show? I do accents to everyone. Only catches everyone sounds the same, so it's hard to tell who's
You remonstrate with the kids to get them to do the washing up, but they refuse anyway?
Absolutely.
Shout at them to go to bed at the end of the show, and they don't?
Yeah.
Gits.
I go to bed before them now. Not a lot happens in Barrow. I come to your shows, please.
Yeah, come along.
Yeah. Now,
winners and losers of this week. Who were they? Glenn, who were the winners and losers?
Well, quite literally, the loser would be Carl Williams, as he did lose that fight. That's just technically sound and correct. And I would say the biggest winner...
It wasn't much of a fight, actually. I think.
Well, I wasn't there, but I didn't see it.
Or was I?
I wasn't.
I've been put in pain by an exercise bike, but not that bad.
No. Was it an exercise bike?
Yeah.
It's with the seat.
Was it a suicide?
Bicycle side, yes, okay.
Yeah, man. The biggest winner, and I don't know if this person exists, but I'd imagine they'd have to, whoever got really drunk and thought they'd missed their flight, only to find that a volcano had saved their job.
They had the ultimate excuse. Someone said they missed their kid missed school, and they were able to write a letter to the principal saying a child could not attend school because of a volcano in Iceland. It's the ultimate excuse. Tom Gleeson, who are the winners and losers?
Well, with Anzac Day coming up, I think the winners would have to be a lot of our troops who are serving overseas, over in Afghanistan. There are 1,550 troops working on Operation Slipper.
Yep.
And a lot of those people are part of the reconstruction effort, and that's very, it's a great thing to be doing.
You've been over there.
I've been
you?
Over there, and they're doing good work.
Performed for the troops.
That's right. And so I think they're winners. But the loser of the week would have to be the person who's working on Operation Pallet. There's one person working on that. I don't know what Operation Pallet is, but there's one troop serving overseas on their own, according to the paper. I'm just picturing one person with a BB gun
forces.
Or something. I don't know. But Operation Pallet, maybe it's a forklift situation. Yeah, maybe Operation Pallet is just stacking something in Afghanistan.
Okay, but what happens if you... Because I know you were a big success when you went to entertain the troops in Iraq and Afghanistan. What if the call comes in tomorrow, Tom, we need you to come and entertain the troop. And it's for Operation Pallet.
I would do a lot of forklift jokes. I'd sort of do warehouse-based humour. I'd do whatever it took to make that one dude feel a little taste of home. I'd just do whatever it took. Whoever he is or her out there on their own, whatever the hell they're doing.
Stuff, you know, pallet of the mouth.
Yeah, a lot of that. You talk with forked tongue, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I'd just be in there. I'd be talking about the inner workings of hydraulics and whatever it took. I'd just do whatever it took.
Anthony Aykroyd, who were the winners and losers of this week?
The loser of the week is the correct use of language.
The correct use of language.
I think they lose every week. Yeah.
I'm a bit of a pedant about this. These are three direct quotes in the media, Richard.
Yeah. All from our show. Yeah.
Now, first of all, Colin Barnett, the WA Premier,
yeah,
also known as Mr. I'm Not Playing. And he said, Kevin Rudd can't buy my support with 20 pieces of silver.
What's wrong with that?
Used to be 30 pieces in the Bible. Yeah, there's a 33% discount now.
You see, and you say the Christian Brothers taught you nothing except for how to run when you were in Tasmania, but they did.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. No, a lot of Judas stuff. Judge on So You Think You Can Dance, you've been the best dancer we've had from Woe to Go. I think it's Go to Woe. You don't start with, you know, Woe and end up with Go. You start with Go to Go, and then And finally, some business guy pushing his company said, we've got a virtual Pandora's box of services.
That's not good.
Pandora's box released pain and suffering and misery on the entire...
Yeah, but at least it's a one company that's being honest about their telephone tree.
Exactly. Now, winner of the week, got to be Tony Abbott. Suggesting we send people who haven't got a job down mines. At last... We need more policy from the 1800s, ladies and gentlemen. Why can't lazy school children be seconded as chimney sweeps? Those bloody indolent pensioners, just because you're 80 doesn't mean you can't carry a bundle of thatch on your back up a hill for master's fire. Good on you, Tony.
There you go. Anthony Aykroyd, Tom Gleeson and Glenn Wall. And our wonderful audience, thank you very much. Thank God it's Friday. Thatch carries all. Now, the French president, Nicolas Sarkozy... Sorry, just brush off my microphone there. Nicolas Sarkozy this week ordered legislation that will ban Islamic veils that fully cover the face. What clothing choices would you like to see banned as divisive in society? Anthony Aykroyd.
Just one, Richard. The G-string.
It's got to go.
Who invented this? Of course, talk about divisive. Mm-hmm. Divides the left cheek from the right. No one looks good in a G-string. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's hard to tell because I'm sitting down, but I have perfectly formed buttocks. It is my redeeming feature. And let's take a poll. How many people would like to see me in a G-string? Actually, most of the audience. So there are two groups of people, those who believe a thong is something you wear on your feet, and those who believe a thong is something worn up your bum crack. And I know which group I belong to. The audience are stunned at that polemic.
Now, Tom Gleeson, okay, we'll
Tom's wearing a G-string.
We'll ban the G-string on the basis that it cuts up the buttocks into hostile territories, much like the Middle East, into various armed zones. What do you want to ban, though?
I think we should ban men over 30 from wearing board shorts without having the definite intention of swimming. I don't think you can wear board shorts as casual wear.
So, the definite intention. So you can change. It's all right if you set out to swim and then change your mind at around 11.
You got to have the direct intention. That's right. But you can't You can't be wearing board shorts just like in way inland. You can't be walking around Katoomba in board shorts when you're not even planning on just because it's a hot day and you couldn't. I don't know. You didn't buy any shorts that were just full shorts. You can't. Board shorts are not shorts.
But we're getting a lot of criticism, aren't we? We middle-aged men, because you're saying we can't wear board shorts. Other people are saying we can't wear the sluggos. And yet, I think the tone is that we wear the sluggos to show display ourselves. Yet we're not. We're just wearing the sluggos to swim.
No, well, this is the deal. When you are a middle-aged man, you are either swimming or fully clothed. There's no in-between. You have to wear a three-piece suit right to the edge of the water. Quick, disrobe, swim, get back out dressed. Don't ruin anyone's day.
Can I say, Tom, this is where we need the webcam to zoom in on the two guys in the front row here.
Board shorts.
Oh, my God.
Board short heaven. So what you're saying is when Nicolas Sarkozy has banned the full veil...
Yep.
And no one has any use for them in France. They should export them to Australia for middle-aged men to wear on Bondi.
That's right. Yeah, wear full cover. Yeah, definitely.
Then everybody's happy.
Yes.
Yeah. Glenn Wool.
I just like to say off the top, I was happy you went with board shorts because I actually have written on mine anyone over the age of 30. Yeah. And I thought, oh no, he's going to do the exact one I did. But he didn't. Yeah.
I have noticed what you're wearing there, Glenn.
Oh, yeah. Well, I didn't know what those
were. So, what's yours? Quickly.
Baseball caps with an unbent brim off to a crooked angle. just like the flat, like that. And it's fine for kids, but, adults.
29,
you're not...
28, 29, 30.
Yeah, like I just see them
even
and I'm like...
Even if you're a professional skater,
not even then. Like, because I see people with it and I'm just like, a slap could fix you.
Anthony Aykroyd, Tom Gleason, Glenn Wool, thank you. Remember, you can download free the podcast of TGIF by visiting our website. Next week, Gene Kitson, Tommy Dean and Colin Buchanan. Until then, thank God it's Friday.